You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 34, verse 20, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 34, verse 20. The title of this lesson is The Two. You've heard of the five? Well, this is the two. Now, last week we left off with Jacob's beautiful young virginal daughter, Dinah, going for a walk in the field with no covering, no protection, and she was raped by the most powerful man in the land, Shechem. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that these things happen to those people in the Bible for an ensample example for those of us who have come to the end of the age. Shechem, who raped her, represents the soon coming Antichrist, who's going to rape the world, spiritually speaking, and half the body of Christ, because he's going to be the instead of Christ, make them think he's the Savior, but he comes first to seduce, to beguile, a spiritual raping. Dinah represents that part of the body of Christ that is not covered. She's in the field, she's in the world, but they have no word in them. Jesus said in Matthew 25, he said there are 10 virgins. 10 in spiritual numerics is a number of the whole body of Christ. But 5 are wise and 5 are foolish, half and half. The foolish ones, represented by Dinah, have no oil in their lamp. Oil brings light. Light is truth, and truth is the word. Half of the body of Christ will be deceived at the soon coming Antichrist and will be spiritually raped, as Proverbs 20 says, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy many. Robbery means rapture or rapine, and they're going to be an innocent, but they're not covered with the word. They don't have enough of the word. Now, in our storyline here, Shechem last time decided he wanted to marry Dinah. I mean, what a way to introduce yourself. You rape somebody and you say, you know, I think I love you, I want to marry you. Not a good thing to do. But so he got his dad, Hamor, who was the most powerful man in the land, to go and try to make peace with Jacob, make a peace treaty, so that they could marry Dinah and they would marry and get along. But Jacob and his 11 sons, there weren't 11 at this time, were very upset because Dinah had been raped. Now, the Antichrist is coming in to make a peace treaty, peaceful and safety. All those movies you had about him cutting off heads and blowing up buildings, he's coming as Jesus, Antichrist, the instead of Christ, to make a peace treaty. Well, we left off last week with Jacob and his 11 sons kind of listening to Hamor and to his son Shechem, wanting them to marry. And Jacob and his four sons used a little covert activity. They were going to get even for raping Dinah. So the brothers said, well, you know, we would like to cooperate with you, but we have a custom that you have to be circumcised. All male have to be circumcised before we can marry. And so Shechem says, okay, we'll do that. And that's where we left off. Now, please understand that circumcision, God gave it to Abraham, and it was passed on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, means that Jesus is the Son of God. As David was the stem of Jesse, Jesus is the stem of God, and Jesus was on the forefront. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus was pierced, and there was bloodletting, blood for the remission of our sins. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
So now we left off with that, and the brothers are going to use a little covert activity. This is designed by God. When you're fighting the devil, you can use covert activity.
Verse 20, and Hamor and Shechem his son came to the gate of their city,
They had agreed to do this. Now they've got to go and convince all the men of Shechem. Everybody got to be circumcised. Ouch.
And commune with the men of that city, saying, verse 21, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein.
When the Antichrist comes, you can neither buy nor trade nor sell except you marry him. Remember, Jesus is coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the Antichrist is going to do the same. Antichrist means instead of he's going to do the same thing Jesus. But if you will marry him, then you can have anything you want. That'll be the Antichrist, though, false bridegroom, and your eternal soul in jeopardy.
For the land, behold, is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to wife, and let us give them our daughters. 22. Only herein will the men consent unto us.
Only they've got one condition. Here's what you have to do, folks.
To dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised.
Oh.
23. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours. Let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us.
In other words, here's the real purpose. Hamor, who's the father of Shechem, wants the wealth of Jacob. He sees as a very wealthy man. Now, the reason the Antichrist will want to marry you, that other five that's wise, that has the oil of God, you're hearing some oil right now, the truth, so you won't be deceived. The reason he wants to marry you is he wants to rob you of your wealth of salvation because you are bought with a precious price of blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is immeasurably rich.
24. And unto Hiram and Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate.
All the men are listening.
The city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city.
Okay, all the men said, okay. Now guess who was wielding the knife? The 11 boys, some of them the blood brothers of Dinah. I mean, you think maybe they cut a little bit deeper than they should. They're all the men of Shechem. They are naked, they're exposed, and there they are to the knife. The beautiful thing is that that other half of the body of Christ, the very elect who will not be deceived, are going to be delivered up to Antichrist. And Luke 12 says we're going to speak, the Holy Spirit will speak through us. We're not to premeditate that time. That time you don't study 15 hours for one word, okay? And whatever we say, it's going to expose the nakedness of Antichrist. We're going to uncover his Jesus costume on and let people see that he's the devil. Understand?
Yes.
25, and it came to pass on the third day when they were sore.
3 days, I mean, they're all sitting there, they can't move, their clothes are off, and ouch.
Then two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brother, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males.
How about that? Now, these are two blood brothers, Simeon and Levi. Levi is the priesthood. Now, what is this? In Revelation chapter 11 and in Zechariah chapter 3, we know that before too long, you're going to hear two voices. They could be in the world now, but you're going to be aware of them. They're called the two witnesses. They're called the two olive trees that stand beside the God of the whole earth. And they're going to be pouring the golden oil, the truth, into that part of the body of Christ, the elect, into your golden candlesticks, so that you will not be deceived, so that you will not get discouraged when the Antichrist is here. And the Bible says in Hebrews that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the joints and marrow of the bones. So Simeon and Levi are type of the two witnesses. When we speak out, when the two witnesses speak out to the world, the whole world will hear, that word will be so sharp it will cut, because the whole world, Revelation 13, will worship the Antichrist. Half the body of Christ will, thinking he's Jesus. And that word's going to cut sharp and convict. the two witnesses will pour that out. They will have supernatural power. You think about two young men. They didn't have bombs and weapons of mass destruction. Each one had a two-edged sword. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. And they went in there and they killed every one of them, just these two. They moved in supernatural power. The anointing causes supernatural power. Do you realize that it's a supernatural power of God that when we pray for someone and they are healed, or that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we get a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy, that is supernatural power. The two witnesses will call down fire from heaven to make blood come in. But what it means is they anointed, the two anointed ones, the anointing of Elijah.
Amen. Amen.
26, and they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword.
The two witnesses are going to make the Antichrist very uncomfortable. They're going to be, you'll be aware of them. They're probably here already, but you'll be aware of them about 10 days before the actual Antichrist appears. But he's going to get very nervous because they are telling the truth. See, the devil's kingdom is always a lie. Like some things going on in Washington, like Adam Schiff.
And took Dinah out of Shechem's house.
These two boys, these brothers, Simeon and Levi, rescued Dinah. Now, what's going to happen? The two witnesses, Zechariah explains, they're two olive trees beside the candlestick, the Lord. They're pouring oil, the truth, into the seven candlesticks represented by the 7,000 people on earth that will not be deceived. May you be that. And they're going to rescue the elect from giving up, from being discouraged. Do remember one thing. In Mark 13, Jesus shortened the time of the Antichrist. And in Revelation 9, he says, the king of the bottomless pit, who is Abaddon, meaning the destroyer, the devil with his Jesus costume on, his time has been shortened to 5 months.
Amen.
You can take that piece of cake.
And went out. 27, the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister.
In Bible times, when you defeated the enemy, you would go in and get their wealth. And once again, now the Antichrist wants to steal your wealth, which is eternal salvation. But when the two witnesses come, they're going to try to clean house, clean up all of the lies that are covering the earth even right now. In other words, clean house. Clean the swamp.
Wait. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. 29. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house.
The whole world is going to get very upset at the two witnesses. Remember, the whole world will worship the Antichrist and half the body of Christ. There'll be a great revival in the church, a Christian church, but they'll think they're worshiping Jesus. And they're going to be mad at these two witnesses because they keep telling us the truth that that's not the Antichrist. And so they're going to be very upset about that.
Verse 30, and Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed, I and my house.
Now, that is a scary looking thing. Jacob, for a moment, is a little afraid. He loves his family. But even more important, he realizes that God told him that his ancestors would be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, and that the Messiah, the Son of God, would come through his lineage. And so, of course, he's afraid now that God's plan is going to be aborted. What if everybody dies, then how's the Messiah going to come through?
31, and they said, should he deal with our sister as with that harlot?
Don't you love the brother standing up for her? The book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus himself calls that body of Christ, that five that will worship him half and half. It'll be, five is just half, okay? They will worship him. He calls you a harlot, mystery Babylon, the harlot, because you see, you're supposed to be virginal and wait for the true Christ. But if you go to bed with the Shechem, the Antichrist, God says that you're a harlot.
Chapter 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there.
You know, Jacob's right on the edge of the cliff there. The alligator's got his foot in his mouth, and he's falling down, and here comes God. God protects his elect, and he especially protects the womb that bears the Christ child. You're to bear the Christ child. His name is the Word of God. Did you bear the Word of God to anyone this week, one-on-one?
And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of thy brother Esau.
Bethel, Beth is house, El is God. Remember that when he went out there running from Esau 20 years earlier, Esau wanted to kill him, that was his brother, that he had a stone, Jacob's stone, and he had the dream of a ladder to heaven. Then he erected an altar, gave his whole life to God, and called it Bethel, the house of God. And here's what happens. When the Antichrist comes here, don't you run to Beth Aven, an empty house. Don't go somewhere where they are worshiping the Antichrist. Go to the house of God. It's not a building. House is God. El is God. El, God, is the Word. Go to the Word, and you'll be safe.
Amen.
Verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean.
Now, don't forget, his beloved Rachel had stolen one of the teraphims, the strange gods of her dad, Laban. So he says, everybody, take all of these gods and get rid of them and be clean. What you want to do, we're now in the fifth trump. It's a time of learning. That's why you're hearing this right now. Some of you for the first time, some of you for more times, but you haven't done a thing about it. All the gods that will keep you from worshiping the true Christ, waiting on Jesus, but will tempt you to worship the false Christ, you better get rid of them right now. In other words, malice and grief and jealousy and laziness and gossip and alcohol and drugs and pornography, because the Antichrist will say, if you worship me and marry me and call me God's Savior, Theosata, you can have anything you want. Put them all away. Wash yourself and be clean. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, he says, take off your dirty rags and be clean. Wash yourself. Be washed with water by the word of God. Ephesians tells us that. Wash away everything right now. This is it. Take all of your gods right this minute and get them away. You don't have much time. The sixth trump is the Antichrist. It's about to blow. And he comes before Jesus. The whole world will worship him. And if you've got any little gods tucked in your corner, I mean in your heart, anything that is blocking you from being everything God wants you to be right now, you better get rid of them. Wash them. Guess what he's going to do with those gods?
And change your garments.
Change your garments. Take off those dirty rags of sin and put on the robe of righteousness.
Verse 3, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God.
He took them and he put them in an oak tree. Now, I grew up with oak trees. They don't have that much foliage on the bottom, so you can't hide those gods under the foliage. You know what he did with the fake gods? He dug a hole in there and he buried them. In other words, any god that you're serving and any god that you're going to have holding on to when the Antichrist comes is a dead god. And when something dies, we dig a hole and bury it. It's dead and gone. Make sure they're all buried and don't leave them out so you can go caress them once in a while.
Amen.
Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears.
An earring in Bible time was a sign of slavery. They would take an awl and pierce the earlobe and put an earring in it, and it meant you were a slave. So I say to all of you who are slave to television, to soap operas, to gossip, to too much food, to alcohol, to drugs, to greed, to self-centeredness, to lukewarmness, to all kinds of things that people don't even know about. Don't be a slave there anymore. Take that earring out of your ear. Don't be a slave. Be a slave only to Jesus. Paul says we are bond slaves to Jesus Christ. He's a good master.
Amen.
And Jacob hid them by the oak which was in Shechem.
And that's where he buried them.
Verse 5. And they journeyed. And the pillar of God was in the cities round about them.
That's the terror of God. In other words, everybody had heard how Simeon and Levi went around, each one just with one sword, each killed everybody. It was a supernatural power. So they said, man, there's a God there. And when the whole world hears the two witnesses and the word of God coming, it says fire will come out of the two witnesses' mouth. It doesn't mean literal fire. It means the anointing of God, the word of God will just whoosh. Kill the lies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The anointing is supernatural.
Amen.
And they did.
Because the anointing is Christ painting himself on you.
But pursue after the sons of Jacob.
It didn't bother them.
Verse 6. So Jacob came to Lars, which was in the land of Canaan, he and all the people that were with him. 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel.
El is God, Beth is house, El is God. Twice for emphasis, God, house of God. Make sure that wherever you go, it's the house of God. It doesn't have to be a building. You be the house of God. God is the Word. Be filled with the Word. And everywhere you go, wear the Word so people can see the Word. You cover yourself with it. Your life ought to be different. You don't talk like other people. You don't go out to lunch like other people. You go to lunch, but you don't go out like those people. You understand? There's a difference in every single thing you do.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're wearing the Word of God, and it's in you.
For there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Verse 8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bakuth.
That in the Hebrew is a place of weeping. Now this is a beautiful, compassionate thing God's done for us. Haven't you been wondering if Jacob got reunited with his mother Rebecca? God didn't put it in the storyline because this is the lineage through whom Jesus will come. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that part was complete. This shows us that Jacob was reunited with Rebecca, his mother, because he wouldn't have had her nursemaid there. Isn't that sweet of God? Yeah. He knew you would wonder.
Verse 9. And God appeared to Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. Verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thou shalt not be called any more Jacob. Israel shall be thy name.
Now this is the second time we've heard that. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel of God? That means he was in fervent prayer all night long. God told him that. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter established. God says, I really mean it, Jacob. You're not Jacob. You're not contending to survive anymore. You're not trying and overreaching and struggling anymore. You're the prince that had power with God. You have power now. Now, it's time for you to put that old name away. Your name was captivity. Now, your name is freedom.
Amen.
Your name was death. Now your name is life.
Amen.
Your name was victim. Now your name is victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Put that, bury that dead name. Don't you even go there anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. You have a new name. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes, he's going to give us all a stone with a new name written. And he's going to have a name that only the Lord knows, and you know how great that is.
Awesome.
And he called his name Israel.
The prince that has power with God. You have power with God. You're a king and a priest, Revelation. Jesus says in Luke 19, he says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The power comes from the anointing, like the two witnesses. The anointing breaks the yoke.
Verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty.
In the Hebrew, this is, I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai in the Hebrew, listen carefully, means the many-breasted God. Now, before you form a picture of God as a woman with all these breasts dripping off, remember God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So the Word, who is God, uses words to make a picture so you'll understand things. What he means is, God is ample. He has ample supply to feed all of his children, to take care of everything you need forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. So he says, Jacob, I'm going to take care of things for you.
Be fruitful and to multiply.
Because my son, the Savior, is going to come through your lineage, Jacob.
A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee.
A nation and a company of nations. When we get to Genesis 49, this same Jacob will be blessing his son Joseph's two sons. Joseph will grow up and get married. One son will be Ephraim and the other son will be Manasseh. And Jacob is going to say to Ephraim, you will be a commonwealth of nations. You see it right there? A commonwealth of nations. You know who that is? Great Britain. They have many nations within that. But he said, Manasseh, and the manuscripts say, you will be a great nation, superpower of superpowers, United States of America. The 10 tribes migrate over the Caucasus Mountains, settle Great Britain, cross the pond and came and settle these United States of America. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
And kings shall come out of thy loins.
And they did. King David, King Solomon, King Hezekiah, and King James. We're studying from the King James Bible of England. He gave us the King James Bible. And then ultimately, King Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Verse 12. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. 13. And God went up from the place where he talked with him. 14. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil on. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel.
House of God. Stay with the house of God. Not a building, but the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word.
16. And they journeyed from Bethel. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrat. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor.
At last she's having that second child, but she's having trouble.
Verse 17. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor, the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Verse 18, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, as she called his name Benoni.
Son of my misery.
Which his father called him Benjamin.
In all the grief of seeing his beloved wife Rachel die, he had the presence of mind not to have that little guy be called son of my misery. Benjamin is son of my right hand.
19. And Rachel died. I was buried in the way to Ephrat, which is Bethlehem.
Beth house, love of him bread. The last of the 12 patriarchs who would be a part of God's great government on this earth. The last one, son of my right hand, was born in Bethlehem. The firstborn son of Jesus, thousands of years later, was born to the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. And Jesus sits on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. House of bread, Jesus, the bread of heaven, Bethlehem.
Verse 20, and Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day.
That grave is right there today. It's actually not a hole in the ground. It's a sepulcher. Now, I know your heart is sad about her, but here's the good news. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, ere the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The two witnesses could very well be in the world today. You will hear them on the air, and they will be telling you that that first one is not Jesus, when the whole world will be leaving that be believing that the Antichrist is Jesus. Pay attention to the two witnesses when you become aware of them. I love you. God bless you. We'll begin right there next time.
Amen. Amen.
It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I think you understood a lot tonight. I hope you did. And I want to introduce you to you, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my fellow hard worker, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Awesome word tonight.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Our question today, will the Antichrist tolerate the two witnesses?
Not at all. In Revelation chapter 11, after a while, the Antichrist, who's pretending to be sweet Jesus, peace and safety, and doing all kind of nice things, he's going to blow his cool. See, if he went around killing everybody, you'd never believe it was Jesus. But he is going to lose his cool. He's going to kill the two witnesses, because then everybody in the world's going to be glad, because remember, they want to believe the Antichrist is God, because the Antichrist will give them, pay their mortgage and give them drugs and give them stuff, and people want stuff, do they not? But 3.5 days after their body will lie in Jerusalem in open arena, they are going to arise from the dead, the two witnesses, and that is when you can say, now I know when Jesus is coming. When the two witnesses arise, they are coming, and Jesus is coming down, the second coming of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, and Jacob has some stuff. What is Scott's stuff?
He is dressing you in the mantle of his word. Follow the part of the word revealed to you. Work only in the spear, your territory I give to you. Do not let the devil lead you into any outside territory that the Lord has not given, ground that has not been prepared to receive the Lord's full presence and authority. The enemy wants to draw you out into his territory that is unprepared. Do not get drawn out. Just as they tried to get Nehemiah down from the wall, the enemy will attempt to do the same to you.
Thank you. You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you, Scott. That is fantastic. Great. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if any of you are not saved, now's the time. Let's get saved. Okay, pray this with me and mean it. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus.
Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Use me to enlarge the kingdom.
To enlarge the kingdom
of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you pray that, in a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that on my voicemail so I can pray with you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Right on the shoulder blades, I see there is infection, there is inflammation in the right shoulder and the left shoulder, very close to the spine from the shoulder there. In the name of Jesus, let the inflammation be dissembled, disintegrate, and be gone in Jesus' name. Let the Holy Ruach breathe through there. Oh Lord, you sent your word and heal them. And right down into the stomach, peace be still. No more ping pong balls down there. Peace be still in the stomach in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He gives strength. He gives strength. He gives strength to the weak. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you glory. Now, if you were one of those who were healed, feel free to call and tell me that also. There's nothing given to you to keep. Everything is to give away. The more you give, the more God will give back to you. But that's not even the purpose. It's just the way he is. All of these beautiful truths you hear. This is the mystery of God. The world's starving for this truth.
Amen.
And you have it. Don't you hide this under your oak tree. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. I want to give a shout of thanks to Scott Merson for his beautiful Scott stuff. We appreciate that. We appreciate all that you do for the body of Christ, you and your
Thank
beautiful
you,
family, Scott Merson.
Thank, you very,
Thank
much.
You very much. Now, for all of you, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you, and I'm so grateful that you joined me, and I can't wait until next time we get together again as a loving family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
hands and our hearts to worship you, to tell you we believe. Sing this with me. When you say come, here we are lifting up our hands and our hearts to worship you, to tell you that we
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big,
this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Praise and worship.
This is how I fight my battles.
So what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
Thank you.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
To walk this world with you always. Never wanna be apart from you, oh Lord. I am sometimes overwhelmed by truth and your ways. Now could it be that I was made for you? I'm talk of how you make me smile. Oh, I would like to leave it all behind my ways, but I get caught up in myself sometimes. All I can say,
listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA Coco Beach and Vieira.
The reason why many of us are struggling with emptiness is that we're not after the heart of God.
Dr. Tony Evans says too many of us have forgotten there's a vital connection between our sense of purpose and our sense of passion.
So we experience little of the power of God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Some people invest enormous time and energy trying to find themselves and never do. But today, Dr. Evans will explain why that problem has already been solved and why the answer includes surefire cures for boredom and the blues. Let's join him.
Many of us today are